Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
And good day to you, wherever you are in the world. My name's Tony, and I hope you are sitting ready and expectant for another edition of the Worcester Reports. This week, I visited Worcester United Church at 73 Church Street to chat with their longtime pastor, Mario Funzel. As I arrived at 3 p.m. on Tuesday, there were a number of activities taking place outside in the sunshine. This is a busy church. We talked in his office. Mario, welcome to CWCP Radio.
Thank you, Danny.
And I've got a few questions I'd like to put to you, and you can talk for as long as you like, within reason.
I'll try.
First of all, for our listeners who are, many of them are in Canada and others in different parts of the world, maybe you could just give a quick history of this church.
The church was founded in 1888 as a congregational church. And then in the mid-80s, we became the Worcester United Church. That means we are now Congregational Presbyterian. But the church has been here for a number of years in Worcester. I think this church was here at the same time as the Dutch Reformed Church and the Anglican Church in those early years.
Now let's jump to something I can never resist asking a pastor when I have the chance to. How did you come to the Lord, Mario? Oh, maybe you were born a fully-fledged Christian.
And I can't wait to answer that question. I gave my life to the Lord as a 9-year-old boy. But then as a 9-year-old boy, I really wandered far away from the Lord. I left the church at the age of 15 and really became very rebellious. Later years, got involved in a hippie movement in those years, late 60s, early 70s. I actually was asked to leave school because I refused to cut my hair. After coming back from the military service, I worked in a bank and then also get hair problems there because hippies must have long hair. And I really went off the board, went over to England and to Europe. And I remember in Amsterdam, Dam Square, meeting up there with hippies all over the world, and from there they moved down to Bangladesh and those places for the ultimate trip or journey. And there I also came across for the first time the Jesus people. Funny, from there we moved to London in Hyde Park, and there I saw these people dancing, singing, and they were Jesus people. So the Lord had his own way of working in my life, but I was very far from the Lord. And really then got involved in smoking marijuana in all kinds of drugs later on. But then I moved from a little place called Ladysmith in Natal to Cape Town. The bright lights were calling, so we used to say. And ended up in Cape Town, and there I got really involved in smoking marijuana. And then I got busted. The police came, I was locked up. I was in a prison cell for 4 days, 4 nights, and that's where my image got broken. Because by that time, I had long hair. I used to wear hair in a ponytail or a plait, real, just very, very wild. And the Lord, I was challenged. I said, I'm living a lie. This is not the real Mario. I've got this big front, and that's not really me. But coming out of there, I got a suspended sentence, 6 months suspended for 3 years, but still, I carried on, but now I knew now I was living a lie, because the person I tried to be is not real. So I'm having this image. Then I came across the whole hippie market in Cape Town. They became Christian, and then I met a girl, but I was following the girl, not so much going to church. But that's how I came in contact with the whole hippie market church in Cape Town. And then the Lord called me there. I just felt the Lord was calling me. This is where the Lord wanted me to be. And I didn't fully commit myself to the Lord. But one day I had an incredible experience traveling through the Karoo. And I saw the Lord in my spirit. Not in a form. And I saw the whole Karoo was in bloom. Beautiful flowers. But I know God. I know the one who's created all that. And I met God in the most profound way. I saw him in my spirit. And I promised the Lord that night when I get back. When I get back to Cape Town that first Sunday, I'm going to go back to that Assemblies of God, to the Assemblies of God Church. And I'm going to openly give my life to the Lord. And I couldn't wait for that altar call to happen that night. I was there first to give my life, to stand there, Lord, here I am. I'm surrendering my life to you. And that was in 1975. So that's quite a 40-odd years ago. The Lord's just been extremely gracious to me. And if I look back through those years, I didn't want it any other way because the Lord has done so much in my life that he can use in a different, in his way, in my life right now. And then, of course, after that, I spent 3 years with YWAM, with Youth with a Mission, all over the world. I was very fortunate to go to South America, to go to the East, all over Southern Africa to do mission work as well. Then went back into the world, in the clothing industry for many years. And at 39, I got a call to go into the ministry. And that's where I am today, after all these years. But it took a long way, a long journey. And I was a bit of an escapist as well, because as in those days, he was running away from reality by doping and all kinds of things. And the Lord just said, no, Mario, you've got to go back. You've got to go find yourself a job, and you've got to work. And so I worked. And from the time I gave my life to the Lord, I felt I had a calling. And it took really 18 years for me to get to where the Lord wanted me. Where the Lord said, okay, now I can release you into the ministry. And so, yeah, that was then. Then I went to university at the age of 39. I went to Rhodes University. I did my BA undergrad in church, and I majored in church history and systematic theology. And I did my honors in systematic theology. I would never ever have thought, because I was asked to leave school because I had to fight with the principal. I only wrote my matric, as we called in those days, a matric, when I was 36 years old. So there is hope for all of us. So that's just, I can keep you for hours. I'm not going to tell you about my testimony and the way the Lord has led me in such an incredible way.
So have you been pastoring in other churches before you came here?
I was, when I, straight after university, as a Presbyterian minister, we had to do what you call a post-academic training. And those 2 years I spent in Richards Bay in a Presbyterian church. And then from there, I came here. I was a Vista United, those days was a Vista Congregational Church. And I was called here. But that was a whole different story because of denominationalism and what came with all that, this congregational church, and I'm a Presbyterian minister. My brother was here, he's Presbyterian, so they can't have two Presbyterians in one church, one congregational church. So we became a United Church. So we joined congregational church, joined with the Presbyterian church, and that's where the United Church came from. But then I was here for 5 years, and then I felt the calling. Because I was with my brother, yeah, and older being older than me, kind of covering me, and the Lord said, no, it's time for you, I've got to take you out. And I went to Birkfleet in Cape Town for 4 years with a congregational church there. And when Eros, my brother, went to Canada, to Fort McLeod, the congregation called me back. So I've been back here for now a good 11 years since Eros has left, my brother. So, yes, that's where I find myself right now. But while in YWAM, I had a privilege to minister in all the different churches. And even within the Catholic Church, within the Anglican Church, within the Dutch Reformed Church, within the most ultra Pentecostal churches, charismatic, because I was very involved in the charismatic renewal as well, in Durban. Well, I actually stayed in a monastery for a year. And got in, that's where I got into the whole renewal movement, those days called the charismatic renewal, with all the mainline churches coming together in the most beautiful way. But I had a privilege to really minister, even before I went into the ministry, as a missionary in so many different churches. And so that really opened up your understanding of the church, the body of Christ, with Christ as the head. So it's no longer about denomination, it's about the body of Christ and what he wants to do. We find ourselves within a denomination or within a church grouping, but just to live out our faith. But we are not limited to that. I think the kingdom of God is much bigger than a denomination. Sorry, that's a bit of tongue-in-cheek. I hope I can say that.
So now we're in 2018, and you have your congregation here. How would you characterize them? Where are they coming from? Are they charismatic, or are they people of the Word, or the Spirit?
That's the beauty, that what the Lord has been doing here. When I was called to come back to Worcester, and being a charismatic person myself, with a traditional background, because I grew up in the Dutch Reformed Church, the Lord gave me a mandate, and that was to, on a Wednesday night, to introduce the Holy Spirit. And then I started a praise and worship service. I felt that's what the Lord wanted me to do every Wednesday night. With a music group, musicians start coming in. And so we were having, it's the most incredible way of worshiping. Because what we decided, we wanted to really, everybody, one come with a hymn, one come with a song. Like in the old renewal days, and one come with the word, one come with a prophetic word, or one come with a gift of tongue and interpretation of tongue. So it was very charismatic. And you know what? There was a group of people, and people were taking to it. I never had any opposition as far as that, and our church has never been like this. We've been a really white-dominated a church, really traditional. But the Lord, when the Lord started doing a work, it changed everything. And it was just so exciting to see how God has been working in the lives of even the staunchest of I can say, beautiful traditional Christians. The Lord was working in their hearts. So yes, and our whole vision and mission statement have changed since that time as well, which is really it's really powerful. Mm-hmm. And so I really believe the Lord is at that cutting edge of something new that I believe the Lord wants to do for us as a fellowship and also for our area and for Worcester.
Is this church done in English or in Afrikaans?
We are an English-speaking church, but with my Afrikaans background, I just love now and then to throw something in, because 70% of our people is really Afrikaans speaking.
Yeah,
that's another history that I won't indulge in here now.
You mentioned music and how powerful it is. Tell me about the music that you have in the church here, the musicians and the kind of music that
we've got. Again, as I said, we had this worship team on a Wednesday night, and we started bringing in the worship team on a Sunday morning, introducing more free, open type of worship. And then we also have Charles Janssen on the organ, and he's an incredible organ player. Really, he's just so good. And then we have Noel Oberham on the piano as well. So the two of them play very nicely together. So they sort of make up our 9 o'clock morning service. But what lately has happened, because of our whole mission statement, the Lord, and we've been praying that the Lord will bring the right people in. So he's bringing people with incredible musical talents at this moment, and right at this moment. He brought in Dr. Viljoen and his family, and we nicknamed them the Von Trapp family, because they can all sing, they can all play music instruments, and so there's a lot of individuals. A most beautiful lady, there's also a music teacher, piano teacher. So I think something is stirring. The Lord is doing something really beautiful as far as our music is concerned. And we use a lot of DVD as well, because some of our modern songs, we will then play the DVD with the lyrics, and the people are really taking into that. Mm. Wonderful.
I appreciate what you're saying, because I'm a worship leader myself.
Wonderful. Okay.
Tell me about any particular outreaches of the church, things that maybe you go outside the church's walls and anything that's going on like that.
That's what one of the major problems of the church, of our little fellowship, is we're very introverted. We never, it was all about us. Call it church maintenance, there's all kinds of words that one can use. So we never really went outside the borders of this church. But now that the Holy Spirit is really working in our midst. There's this whole urge for missions. And now the very same thing is happening. The Lord's placing people with a passion for missions within a congregation. We have just welcomed new members in April, and this one lady, actually Dr. Villiers' wife, passionate about missions. And Marion Robbie, passionate about missions. So what we do at this moment, directly, indirectly, we're involved in a number of things. Directly, we're getting there. But what we're involved with, we a role from recovering alcoholics and drug addicts, under Anthony Hall. They fellowship here as well. So we've built a relationship with them. So one of our ladies, she goes, Marion Robbie, my pastoral assistant, she goes out once a week to minister among them. And especially in the area of inner healing, because a lot of the people are wounded. And then, of course, we link with other outreaches as well. We will supply clothes, we will supply food. We've got a food outreach here. We've got a little clothing store, and then that generates some little money. We buy in food, so we hand out food. I think a lot of the people, they know about us because they ring that bell quite often. They come in for a parcel of food. So we hand out food and we hand out clothing. So hopefully we're going to get involved much, much more in outreach work.
And I know that you're very generous in offering your facility to other Christian movements here, such as the homeless church.
Yes, they come. The homeless church, they come on a 12 o'clock on a Sunday. Yep. One of our members is from Korea, Sinjay, and he comes. And then also a lot of YWAMers support him as well. So that's wonderful. And that's now the poorest of poorest,
yeah,
that come here. They've actually got nothing. But there's a meal for them prepared, and a word can minister to them as well.
Yes, I've been to a few of those.
Oh, wonderful.
It is very special. Mm. It's not. I never got the feeling they're just coming in order to get some bread at the end. They are genuinely here to worship.
Yeah. It's wonderful how the Lord linked us with other missionaries, like the Koreans, like YWAM, Youth with a Mission. Mm. So something beautiful is happening. The Lord's been supplying our needs as a congregation in the most incredible ways. Because of the challenge of being a missional church, we know that we can't rely on the people, oasis of living waters. We need to totally rely on the Lord. And so 2 years ago, a gentleman came past here. His great-grandfather was the minister who did all the woodwork in our church. And he was so touched by what he saw that he went back to America. And he felt, oh, he want to bless us with some finances. And for years, from the time I arrived here, we were talking about replacing our thatched roof, and we just couldn't do it because the money just weren't there. And then this man promised us that he's going to bless us with $10,000. And we were so excited. And months went by, never came. And also our budgets were running really low at one stage. And then he contacted me via email, said, Mario, it's been so long that I'm now going to, it's no longer going to be 10,000. It's been laying on my heart. It's no longer going to be 10,000. It's now going to be 20,000. And translated to in rand, it was over 300,000 that the Lord has blessed us with. And so we could replace our roof, not replace, but fix our roof for another 20, 30 years. Plus we had money over for the life and work of Worcester United Church. Then two of our ladies passed away recently. The first one who passed away was Miss Beatrice Murray. She was a direct descendant of the great Andrew Murray. Her grandfather and Andrew Murray were brothers. So it is a wonderful experience to have a family member of Andrew Murray within our congregation. And in fact, one of our members here, Keith Murray, is a lawyer in town. He's also connected with the Murray clan. So we got quite a Murray clan here with us. And so she left us after she passed on to be with the Lord. She blessed us with, again, because our budget was not as it was supposed to be. We're budgeting for a deficit. And she blessed us with 145,000 rand. Then a beautiful lady, Pat Stoffberg, also passed on to be with the Lord. And I was so, I got a letter from a lawyer and said, she left behind Ford of Worcester United Church, 200,000 rand. And you know, I'm just totally blown away with God's kindness and mercy and a way God can give. So from two individuals, we've been blessed with 345,000 just in the last month. So we are just so grateful to the Lord that in a way he looked after us. Well, we budgeted for quite a big deficit. I don't think I can mention it on air, but it's been a big deficit, but that whole deficit has been covered. And so the Lord is just challenging us to mercy. We must have faith. We must believe that he is able to supply all our needs according to his riches. His riches, not ours, in glory. So we thank him for that.
Now, have you got any upcoming events that you'd like to publicise for local people?
If I can say this right now, on the 2nd of September, we have Creation Ministries. Now, they're worldwide scientists. We're having them here on the 2nd, talking about Genesis, the importance of Genesis. And then, on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, that's now the 2nd of September, we're having, also with Creation Ministries, we're having a DVD called DVD Movie, whatever you want to call it, on alien intrusion, or whatever you want to call it. Is there such a thing, or what is this really all about? So they made a documentary, an hour-long documentary, on this alien invasion, they call it something like that. I actually got it right there. On my other desk. So that's going to be really interesting, because these days you look on social media and you get all these little clips about, oh, there's a flying saucer going there. And all. So they got incredible material to take all that kind of thinking on. So that's going to be very interesting. So I would love the people to come on that Sunday. For those who don't go fellowship at 9 o'clock, they can come listen to Genesis, and then the evening. There's very few fellowships going at night, but really few evening services in our town, so I'm hoping that they will come and join us.
I was talking to Marion Rabi, who you mentioned,
Your
assistant, and I think she said, I may be wrong about this, that you're going on a sabbatical shortly, and maybe somebody else is going to be taking over.
I did go on a sabbatical.
Oh, you've been on
I've
one.
Been on a sabbatical, and then Marion actually came in. As a Presbyterian, that's one of the perks of being a Presbyterian. Every 5 years, you get a 3-month sabbatical. So there is good things as well. So and my next one will be coming up in 2 years' time again. But by that time, I'm going to refire into something new, because I'm very close to pensionable age. But then we never retire in the kingdom.
No.
Somebody said we only refire. We don't retire, we refire. So I'll be refiring at 68. I'm only 66 now, so I've still got a bit of time to go.
We are in a town that a casual driver could drive through Worcester and see a fairly prosperous-looking town. But if you live here, you know that we're surrounded by a number of townships where people who are not at all prosperous... and they've been there for for decades.
Mm.
And I would like to, this is a strange question perhaps, if you had the chance to pick a miracle that the Lord would give us that could benefit the poor surrounding Worcester here, what kind of a thing would you think would be most productive and efficiently improve their lives?
Mm. I'm a big fan of St. Francis of Assisi. He's been a great inspiration for me as a young Christian. I saw the movie Brother, Son, Sister Moon by Zeffirelli even before I committed my life to the Lord, and I wept through the whole movie because I was so touched by his life. Becoming poor, because the Lord has given us, so he became poor for our sake, so we might become rich. So for me, the challenge, and this is again a beautiful thing the Lord is doing for us as a fellowship, is to go out and do practical things on the street for these people, not just with the gospel, but to really get involved in the practical sense. Now, something so beautiful happened with Anthony from Rolle. And this is the kind of thing I believe that also for I would like to see. They go out on the streets in the evenings, and I think it's on a Thursday night, and they hand out food parcels for the people lying in the streets, in the gutters, the homeless, who sleeps on the cardboard boxes, really hand on stuff. And then they started a new thing. On Thursday also, they cut hair. So they got a hair clipper. One of the guys that's there recovering from addiction is a hairdresser. So he goes with his little clipper, and he cuts these people's hair. Now, for me, that is what the Lord said, whatever you do unto the least of these, you do this unto me. So if you give somebody a cup of water, you do this for me. So for me, it is to touch others, because when we touch Jesus, when you touch the poor in that way, like they've been doing, and that I believe the Lord is leading us into, I believe that's the ultimate that we can really. So Jesus said to the end, oh, but when did you see me? Lord, when did we do all these things? Remember that text? Yeah, and well, I was in prison, you came to visit me. I think at the end of the day, it's not just about talking the gospel, it's about doing the gospel. Mm. And that is the big challenge the Lord is putting in front of us as a congregation. So as I said, we always be in looking at ourselves, really, but the Lord is now taking us out there. So it's really exciting. And then, of course, we're going to link with other churches. That is, not to start something new, there's a lot of activities already happened. My big friend to Johannes at Vista Christian Gemeente, they're very involved. The Lord led Avians Park on my part personally, and they do a great work in Avians Park. So we would like to link with them as well. Not start a new ministry or anything like that, but to link with existing ministries in our area, wherever Avians Park, wherever the Lord takes us.
Well, I'm familiar with that because that's the church that we go to. And Pam Hugo is their lady.
Pam is a wonderful. So. Pam was a member here, and then she felt the Lord leads and her husband out. Now, they were here for many, many years with us, and she's got an incredible ministry.
So I'm sure she was.
So you're involved with them there?
Well, I'm at that church, I interviewed Pam about a month ago.
I
love links from one program to another. You just gave
me one. Yeah, I want to, because behind the pastor and myself, we're very close, very good friends. We got a very nice, what we call the elders of the city. And it's a few of us. Yeah. And mostly because the kind of charismatic Pentecostal churches, there is some of that Reformed guys with us as well. But we are open for, I mean, all the churches are supposed to come. All the ministers, but it's a handful, and we really want to start doing things together. So last year, from the beginning of the year, we had a big outreach here on the square.
How was that?
Were you there? Okay. We had about five or six different pastors sharing the platform, leading people into a prayer. It was a day of prayer, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing that the Lord's really leading us into as well. Mm. And to link in with people like that. And then to do things together as a witness to the unbelievers, so the church can unite. We can be one in Christ, because I believe that is where the Lord is really going to come when we start taking hands as the body of Christ.
All right, well, you opened the door to this one. That on that day of prayer on the church square there, you were one of the people who were preaching.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to go back to that moment and imagine that in front of you are hundreds, if not thousands, of people who have come there. Mm-hmm. I'd like you to end our little talk with a prayer,
mm-hmm.
which is asking God to help those people's lives blossom, and the ones who are in trouble to help them feel hope. Can you do that?
I can do that. Father, we're reminded of our Lord Jesus Christ when he walked on this earth and he looked out on the multitude, and he was moved with compassion, and he reached out and he touched them and he healed them all. And what our prayer here this afternoon is that you will give us that heart, the Father, your heart for the lost, your heart for the needy. Lord, you became poor for our sake so that we can become rich. But you are calling us to go out into the highways and into the byways. And so, Lord, give us the ability, the strength as a church Worcester United Church and all the other fellowships in Worcester, that we'll have your heart for the people of this valley. Lord, we want to do what you want us to do. Lord, we want not only want to be your mouthpiece, we want to be your feet and we want to be your hands, Lord. And Lord, I pray for all these people in need. Lord, you know the many addictions that is taking place, Lord, the poverty and all these things, the little children suffering in our town, Lord. Father God, I pray for a miracle. Lord, I pray for a revival. I pray, Lord, that you will send your spirit, that you will enter into each home, every heart, that you will knock, and never give up. Thank you, Lord, that you will never give up. Lord, we give up, but you will never give up. And so, Lord, we pray for salvation, we pray for healing, we pray for wholeness for our whole community, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
I've been just basking in the anointed presence of Mario Van Zyl, here the pastor at Worcester United Church. And I thank you so much, Mario, for all the words, every single syllable of wisdom and love that you gave. Thank you.
I feel very honored. I feel very privileged. And I thank the Lord for this opportunity. Thank you.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Growing in God through seasons of wind. My name is Lorianne and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During our last broadcast, we journeyed through growing in God despite disappointments. Seasons like pausing through the wilderness aren't necessarily times of abandonment. During these times, we can ponder or think and take stock of our lives. We can also look around and realize that our whole life is not under a rain cloud. The sunshine and rainbow are not very far away. Then we can praise and worship in the midst of our circumstances. We can also make our own psalm of prayer to the Lord. Think of how the Psalms were written. Most of these writers endured difficult times and deep disappointments, but they were given grace as they chose to trust God. Grace is something that is very prevalent in our faith as we choose to trust God and follow where He leads us. Sometimes following God can include times where we endure windstorms in our lives. We're going to journey through different kinds of wind, both in the natural world and in the spiritual world. The spiritual windstorms are similar to the desert experience I spoke on in an earlier week, although windstorms can definitely be more intense. In the natural world, wind is one of the tools that the desert uses to take moisture out of the soil. You would think it's the sun, but it's also the wind. I've encountered wind in certain deserts and semi-deserts, such as New Mexico, Kenya, Argentina's Patagonia, and South Africa's Little Karoo. It's the wind that seems biting in the cold and bracing in the heat. Apparently, the same process of desiccation can happen inside a freezer with an ice cube. Have you ever noticed that old freezer ice cubes are smaller? In Canada, the windiest seasons are during transition. March is a windy season, perfect for flying kites, if you're bundled up for the cold, that is. And November, it's cool, rainy, and windy as the remaining autumn leaves of color are blown off the trees. In Worcester, the Cape Doctor wind is mainly a summer wind from the south, and there's a winter wind that is mighty chilly. If the wind is strong, it usually signals rain, but not always. Tony recently shared with me something that he has been teaching in his science class, that wind is also essential for the earth. As water evaporates in one area, such as the sea, and accumulates in clouds, the wind blows the clouds to other areas that may really need the rain. I recently discovered why the Cape Doctor is given its name. The Cape Doctor is the local name for the strong, often persistent, dry, southeasterly wind that blows on the South African coast from September to March, or spring to late summer,
in the Southern Hemisphere. It's given its name because of the local belief that it clears Cape Town of pollution and pestilence. I've also been told that Breville Skloof TB Hospital here in Worcester keeps its windows open for health reasons because the wind is thought to clear bad air out of the wards. And how many young children have been encouraged to get away from the TV or their video games? They need to go outside and enjoy the fresh air. So some wind is good. It's a matter of how much wind. Wind has always been an important source of power. For example, for ships before the age of steam. Pilots can do the same if they fly along the jet stream. This means that they can fly further with using less fuel. We live near a glider airport in Worcester, and in some ways it's appropriate to have gliders here because of the wind. The wind is often strong. Why not harness it? People still go wind sailing, parasailing, and in sailboats in various waters around here. One of the ways wind is harnessed now is through wind turbines. We've seen a few of those in the Eastern Cape. I've seen many more in the UK, Canada, and the American Plains. Wind can also be used to purify and clean. I remember seeing an original Star Trek television episode called Mudd's Women. The women were used as a bargaining chip on a mining planet. One of the women, Eve, didn't like what was going on, and she ran off into a howling dust storm, very upset. The lead miner rescued her, but they didn't initially get along. They bickered. When the miner said that her cooking wasn't that great and that it tasted like his own, Eve said, "Well, you're tasting some of it now. I couldn't scrub off the layers of food." He complained back that he had no water to clean with. She replied, "Well, hang up the pots in the wind and let the sand scour the pots clean." Good thinking, Eve. Wind can be used to purify, although in that case, it included the biting sand. Sea salt can do the same if you're on the edge of an ocean wind. But wind is also destructive in higher velocity. The wind doesn't have to be a tornado to cause intense or long-lasting damage. Strong winds can put plants in survival mode. I've seen the fynbos shrubs near Mitchell's Plain and near Cape Point as well. They are weirdly shaped, as if they're crawling away from the nearby South Atlantic Ocean. I've also seen plants grow away from the wind in other areas like Yorkshire in England and Patagonia in Argentina. In the high north of Canada and Russia, there aren't any trees. The wind is too strong for them to survive. Gardeners share that wind greatly affects plants throughout their growth. When plants are seedlings, slight breezes help them grow sturdier. If wind is at gale strength, it can damage and even break and blow down the strongest tree, sometimes crashing into someone's house or car. Winter wind is especially damaging because plants can't replace the water that they lose, so they shrink and wither. So when the winds are destructive, you need a windbreak. You need a protective shield. We need to make sure that the plants have protection and can adapt so that they're not always directly facing the wind. To be against the wind, as the Bob Seger anti-establishment song goes, is to act in defiance. This actually goes against survival, unless understood only as a short-term endurance test. Just before we left for South Africa in November 2017, our neighbor gave me a South African historical novel. The book was called The Covenant by James Michener. While many of the characters are not real, the stories behind them are based on real events and movements. Michener uses the Van Dorn family as one of the Afrikaner voices through a journey of 400 years. Freiburger Willem Van Dorn struggled with the wind damage in his attempts to establish long-lasting wine-producing vines. His colleagues said, in their opinion, there could be no spot in this forlorn land where the winds did not howl, but they showed him how to plant trees to give protection. Willem's Malay girlfriend encouraged him to plant differently according to the wind direction. Michener says, but she was acquainted with growing things and said, "Willem, these vines are dying." Willem replied, "Why? Why do they die?" She said, "The rows run the wrong way. The wind hits them too strong." And she showed him how, if he planted his vines along the direction from which the wind blew, and not broadside to it, only the lead plants would be affected, which the sun would be free to strike all the vines evenly. So if you know the direction of the wind, you can actually grow a stronger root system. You need to know where the wind is coming from. Spiritually, we also endure windstorms. Some of these are destructive in the evil that assaults us. Evil comes in the form of human greed. It also is a malevolent spiritual force that seeks to harm. Jesus tells us in John 10, verse 10, that the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give a rich and satisfying life. The thief that Jesus describes as Satan, the father of lies, as well as the father of stealing. Supernatural evil gives strength and fury to the already awful human evil and rebellion. Mixed together, it becomes a horrible firestorm. You definitely need protection from that. This is where the spiritual windbreak comes in, the protection against evil. The Apostle Paul shares our struggles really reflect what's going on spiritually, not just face-to-face in the physical world. People can be deceived by the onslaught of evil whispers to their minds, so they fall into all kinds of sin, big and small. Paul shares about the armor of God in Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. He says, "A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." So a spiritual windbreak is indeed known as the armor of God. You can ask for this in prayer daily. Let the armor stand against the evil winds. Take shelter in God, although stand in him, don't hide. Keep your focus on him in the midst of the storm. I've done this many a time in encountering evil in different countries, as well as in my own life. Before I came to faith in Jesus, I actively participated in evil by fortune-telling. I was in complete ignorance that this was evil, and so was right in the midst of the storm. I'm thankful that I was drawn up by the Holy Spirit speaking to me the year before I came to faith. I remember sitting at a friend's kitchen table wondering what I should do about my struggling art career and crumbling life. I told myself the following year would be the time to change my life. When I said that out loud to myself, I felt like a waterfall of love flowed over me. The Holy Spirit whispered to my heart, "Good, now's the time to find God." I somehow knew intuitively that he meant Jesus, so I began to search. The Holy Spirit began blowing the winds of God to me, so that I would be carried to Jesus in my search. I didn't want to fight. Why would I want to fight pure love? So I set my face towards God and allowed the Holy Spirit to blow me towards Jesus like a sail. At the time, I used a Star Trek metaphor and called it my holy tractor beam. The Apostle Paul reminds us that the Holy Spirit provides an escape from temptation and difficulty in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 and 13. He says, "If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure." It's true. He does provide a way out of the storms. So Holy Spirit can help you set your face towards Jesus in the midst of the storm. The Holy Spirit acts in different ways as he lifts you up. Like wind, he purifies. He also confirms and strengthens your inner conscience when you're making decisions and you choose what is right. He acts as a refining wind in purifying our desires for good things and not selfish ones. One of the songs I used to sing in my Vineyard church days was the song Refiner's Fire. It goes, "Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will." That song is a prayer to be refined by the Spirit. You can, through the Spirit and faith, use life circumstances to grow emotionally and spiritually stronger. The Holy Spirit also points you to truth and gives you comfort when you are sad. In John 15, Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Advocate and the Spirit of Truth. He confirms and points to Jesus and the Father. He is also a wooer, as he gently wins our hearts. He helps us grow in our trust of God. He is our source of strength. He certainly wooed me, And rather than condemn me for the evil I was doing, he just loved me and led me to Jesus. I eventually came to faith in Jesus at a Holy Spirit conference. It was held at a Canadian Baptist church, and this was exactly the kind of thing I was looking for during my days as a seeker. Although I grew up in a church, it was a liberal one, and I did not know the way of salvation, but now I did. I let the Holy Spirit guide me like a friend, who became more because he is God. So I am thankful for the winds of the Holy Spirit, which can also blow strong. But that wind is pure love. I was in Toronto during the Toronto Blessing in the 1990s, and I remember many times when I would be on the floor for hours. It was like a force greater than myself was causing me to be still, cry, laugh, and receive deep healing in my heart. I remember Pastor John Arnott saying that a touch from God like this could do far more in one evening than months of counseling. I'm not knocking counseling, for I have a counseling degree. It's a good thing. But the wind of God can change the way that you think and feel about past memories and bring healing. Forgiveness and love are powerful. So in a sense, the Holy Spirit is the real Cape Doctor. I pray that this may be the case in touching hearts of all who live in the Cape and well beyond. So as you stand in the wind, will you take shelter from the winds of evil and allow yourself to be transformed by the wind of God? We need to set our face to seek Him. He's not far. He's just a breath and a prayer away. Lord, I ask you to open our eyes and our hearts to see and feel your presence. Still the wind and waves of bad storms like you did with the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. You told them to be still. Cause us to be still and to know that you are God. Thank you that you are there in the times of transition, when it seems that what we cling to is blowing away in the wind. Surround us with your armor and comfort us with your wind instead. Help us to grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Couples Western Cape Radio.
Godfrey Birtle there with a great song, I Will Set My Face. You know, it's about, 12 years ago that Laurie Ann and I went to the Tent of David Church in Rockland near Ottawa one day. We hadn't been there before, and we haven't been there since, but they played that song as part of the service, and it instantly attracted me, and I've played it on radio numbers of times since then. Thank you, Godfrey, for a great, inspiring piece of music.
CWCP, Koppel's Western Cape Radio. I'm L.A. Koppel. By popular demand, I'm back with music sets. I've had my head buried in bookkeeping for a ministry job, teaching and drawing, but I've not forgotten you. I've missed the train songs and sharing the folky side of me. Speaking of trains, Worcester is on a major rail route between Cape Town and Joburg. One of the trains that come through in the morning is Ravos Rail. Where a two-night journey to Pretoria with all the bells and whistles is apparently on sale for half price at just under 14,000 rands. That's 1,400 Canadian dollars at half price, but only for South African residents. Perhaps they mean permanent residents, not folk like us on a visa. Anyway, that's just one of the many trains that run through here. All of them run by our house on the hill. We hear them all the time. Good thing I like trains. We'll start off with a wind song today in honor of the Cape Doctor wind, or since it's winter, the Burke wind from the mountains. To Canadians, that's like the warm Chinook winds that Calgary gets. That's the type of wind I like. Here's Irish-Canadian folky Angus Finnan with North Wind on CWCP Koppel's Western Cape Radio.
Some time ago, I made for the Northland, drawn by the wild hazel eyes. I thought I'd be tall when I made my stand, but there was a child beneath those northern skies. But this night is clear and so full of wonder, and Lord, I am tired walking alone. All of my dreams, they're going under. I carry my pride like a weathered old stone. I've had my fill of chasing my shadow. I wore him well, he wore me down. I miss the hills and soft rolling meadows. I stayed a spell, but I'm leaving this town. So come on, Boots, I know that you're weary. I know how you long by her bed, but it's many a mile, footloose and driven, back from the bush to the woods you once trod. But I've had my fill of chasing my shadow. I wore him well, he wore me down. I miss the hills and soft rolling meadows. Oh, I stayed a spell, but I'm leaving this town. So come on, north wind blow, blow this streamer away, and let no one ever know how much I long to stay. Stand by the door, I pray that I'm ready I've said it before, I mean it this time. My heart undone, my hand unsteady, life left behind now, where northern lights shine. I've had my fill of chasing my shadow. I wore him well, and he wore me down. I miss the hill and soft rolling meadow. I stayed a spell, but I'm leaving this town. Say what you will, I'm leaving this town.
It's time for the train. Climb aboard on CWCP Couples Western Cape Radio. CP, Koppel's Western Cape Radio. I'm Ella Koppel. We just heard Elaine Tembe, an Ottawa blues folk artist who used to have an open mic session in a Vanier bar. I'm not sure he still does that, but I came to know him when I interned at CBC Radio almost 7 years ago. We heard Elaine sing, "Waiting at the Station," as in waiting at the train station. Let's not keep him waiting too long. I'd also like to give a shout out to Shelly Ann Moores, who has always been a big fan of our folk selections here on the Worcester Reports. She even played a song of Tony's on CKCU's Canadian Spaces last Saturday. Thanks for the radio love, our friend.
And as this program draws to its official close, thank you, Laurie Ann, for your participation, as always. My name's Tony Koppel, and something nice happened last Saturday. We used to be involved with CKCU-FM, a radio station, a community station in Ottawa, Canada. And on Saturday mornings, for about, 25 to 30 years, they've been running a program called Canadian Spaces, which just spotlights Canadian folk music. Well, the first song that they played last Saturday was a song where the words were written by an inmate in Ottawa Carlton Detention Centre, and where I had taken them and added a tune, and then I sang that. And it was just me and my guitar for a demo, but I felt so good when I heard it being played on Canadian Spaces. So I have a podcast of the complete program. It goes for 2 hours, so if you want to hear the whole program, then just sit down, get yourself a nice brown hot drink, and enjoy and get the feel of Canadian folk music. And as I say, the first song they played is The Cross, words by Dan B, music by me, and the recording by me. If you'd like to listen more to CKCU, then go to ckcufm.com. They're on air live 24/7, and you'll soon find programs that appeal to you and become a regular listener. That's what happened to me about 25 years ago, and I've been listening and being part of CKCU ever since. God bless you all.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Everybody, this is Shelly Ann Morris. Welcome to Canadian Spaces.
Hey, Shelly Ann.
Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Yeah, this is Chris White, and this is Canadian Spaces right here on CKCU FM 93.1 and CKCUFM.com. Shelly Ann Morris, your regular show is
Welcome to My World.
Yeah, tell us a little about that.
Sure. It's a show by, for, and about people with disabilities. We aim to change the conversation about disability, and we're heard on Tuesday mornings right after the BBC News from 9 until 10 in the morning.
Yeah, a wonderful show, one of many, right here on CKCU-FM. I am delighted to be here with you for another 2 hours of Canada's longest-running folk music radio show. And Shelley, just before we get into talking about who's going to be on the show, because we do have a cavalcade of guests, as quite often happens, right?
Yes, absolutely.
We also have your 40 minutes of music that you've selected, which I happen to know is going to be amazing for everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice selection.
Very local.
All local, that's what I was going to say. Isn't
trying
that
to get,
nice?
Trying to be a bit of a locavore today.
Isn't that nice?
It's going to be a jam-packed show, so I'd like to suggest that you put the kettle on, make yourself a pot of your favorite hot brown drink, and stick around for 40 minutes of uninterrupted folk.
Traveling along a lonely road with a bottle by my side, so sad and since all my love has died. I was so lonesome with my thoughts when all hope was gone. But when I saw him on that cross, I knew I was not alone. He loves me so. He loves me so. He loves me so. He loves me. Coming back from that lonely road with him by my side, I threw that bottle and heavy load, and now I walk with pride. In sorting out my lonesome thoughts and troubles on my own, I can think clearly now because I'm alone. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. I love him. If you have a real bad time and think all hope is lost, don't take it all alone. Look up on that cross. Open arms if you let him in your heart. All your troubles will turn to charm and you'll get a brand new start. He loved you so. He loved you so.
And I listened to the show. It's online. And Tony, while he was here in Ottawa, he did prison ministry, and he visited an inmate in the jail. And the words to that song that you heard, called The Cross, that was written by the inmate that Tony was visiting at the time. And Tony put music to that song. So that was The Cross by Tony Koppel. And again, another...